Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7, The Game.
Come on! Nine days away until the Super Bowl in Miami. Until Super Bowl 54. That's kind of crazy. Good morning, everyone. Stephen Lyford in on a Friday on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Coming up today, want to have a little fun. Going to ask you a little hypothetical if the 49ers do win. And I'll show you what that question is coming up at about 5:15. And coming up, you'll hear from Brian Westbrook, who played under Andy Reid. He was on with Bonte Steiny and Guru yesterday, and he gave some insights on what Andy Reid's offense will look like and how he's going to prepare for the Super Bowl. I mean, you are just that close.
Miami!
Whew. Miami. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 888-957-9570 if you want to get in on the conversation. So, as the week's gone on, and again, we're going to mention this stuff, rehash it all next week, because we're going to be breaking down the game. Jolo and Dibs are going to be live from
Miami.
Be in Miami. Shout out to the Yang Yang Twins for that drop. I don't know if I have to give them any sort of credit or maybe pay them some sort of royalties for that, but that's the best drop that I could think of for this sort of Super Bowl.
Miami.
Now, there have been a lot of stats that have come out. Next-gen stats, analytics that have come out about Mahomes and how he works under pressure and in the pocket. And a couple of things that have come out is how he works, for one, under pressure. Now, in this last game, he was 3-for-10 with 9 yards. Now, when he wasn't pressured and he was able to sit comfortably in the pocket and do whatever he wants to do, he was 20-for-25 with 285 yards and 3 touchdowns. Now, versus the blitz, he was 1-for-5 with 7 yards. When he wasn't blitzed, he was 22-for-30 with 287 yards and 3 touchdowns. So, the Niners, they're known to rush the passer with just 4 guys. They are one of the they're one of the teams that blitz less than a lot of teams in the NFL. They're actually 9th in the NFL in terms of actually 29th in the NFL in terms of blitz rate. So they blitz on 20.9% of their drives. I don't think they're going to change what they're going to do. They'll blitz in this game, I think, just as much as any other game, which isn't really all that much. He's going to do it with Fred Warner, Robert Saleh is, if he's going to do it with anyone. Now, they're not going to change what they do, right? We know that. But I do think that there are some ways that you can work around the Chiefs' offensive line so that you can get pressure on Patrick Mahomes. And it starts all along with Nick Bosa. And Nick Bosa talked yesterday, and he's had some insights on how to handle the Kansas City offensive line.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to be talking. He has pretty good input on these guys, so he's going to give me everything that he could give me, and it's up to me to go use it.
And that's him talking about Joey Bosa with the L.A. Chargers. And, of course, he plays the Kansas City Chiefs twice a year. Now, I don't know how much insight he can really give him, but to me, that'd be a very interesting conversation. Hey, just go sack him, bro. Dude, just go sack him. That's all you got to do. Put your hands in his pads and go sack him. But one thing that I think this is going to – I think a player here on the defensive line is going to stand out in this game – and my one is going to be Arik Armstead. I think that they are going to start D Ford. And normally Nick Bosa, he switches from end to end depending on the matchup. He switches from left to right. But I think that it wouldn't be the worst idea to play Nick Bosa against right tackle Mitchell Schwartz for the entirety of the game. Now, you can play him a snap or two on the other side, but I think if you want to get the pressure on Patrick Mahomes, you just leave Mitchell Schwartz to go one-on-one with Nick Bosa, who's the toughest defensive end to face. Now, D Ford's got the speed, but Mitchell Schwartz is so smart that he understands D Ford's tendencies. So I think putting Nick Bosa on Mitchell Schwartz, leaving him one-on-one the entire game, I mean, I know it's not the sexiest thing to do to make Nick Bosa almost a decoy, but this is the type of thing where you don't want Mitchell Schwartz involved at all, especially when he's the primary pass blocker on that team. And then I think on the other side, you leave D Ford and DeForest Buckner to really take up the left tackle, the left guard, and the center. DeForest Buckner going to be taking up Stefan Wisniewski and the center that goes along with it, taking up that double team. And I think you're going to leave Arik Armstead with the right guard one-on-one, and you're going to let Arik Armstead feast. That's how I think that they're going to pressure this quarterback. That's what they've been doing all season. That's why these guys, these younger dudes, whether it's Sheldon Day or before he got hurt, DJ Jones, these guys on the defensive line, Julian Taylor before he got hurt too, these guys who have been known for depth, it's because these dudes on the outside let him feast. So I think that putting Nick Bosa on Mitchell Schwartz one-on-one, that's how you're going to get the pressure the most, just because you can let the other defensive line take on whatever. And also you take your chances with Nick Bosa beating Mitchell Schwartz. I'm not saying here that there's no chance that Nick Bosa can beat Mitchell Schwartz off the snap, but I think that should be the primary motive there. And Travis Kelce's probably going to try and chip whoever's going up against Mitchell Schwartz. He's most likely going to be trying to chip on Nick Bosa. Damian Williams is going to be used for that too. But they're not going to change up their whole entire strategy just because they see that Patrick Mahomes on the blitz, he's just not as good. Chilton Auto Body text line 957-95-888-957-9570. Now, we did have some media availability yesterday, and Jimmy Garoppolo talked about what he's taking away from one Tom Brady.
I think just how calm he was, how, you know, and everyone says it, you got treated like another game, but just the way that he actually did it. I mean, I was right, you know, up close and personal, just getting all the, picking up everything I could, seeing how he went about his business and everything. And you know, obviously it worked out the two times that I was there with him. And so try to transfer that over to my game.
He really is Tom Brady, just in another body. He really is. That's why Jimmy Garoppolo is so damn calm. It's because you got a guy like Tom Brady who's been there before, who did it as a young guy, taking over for Drew Bledsoe, and he's known to not have any sort of nerves and to not shake in the big pressure moments. And that's why I don't really understand why people don't trust Jimmy Garoppolo in high pressure situations. The reason that he's so lethal in these situations is because he played under Tom Brady. And I don't think there's anyone better that he could have been a backup quarterback to teach him that sort of stuff. Patrick Mahomes was under Alex Smith, so Patrick Mahomes could have a different type of pressure, although he seems like a whole just different dude than a lot of other quarterbacks, and that's part of the reason why I'm so scared of Patrick Mahomes, is because he has that look in his eye, that confidence on the sideline that he's going to go out there and score every time. Now, the 49ers, they're going to run the ball. They're for sure going to run the ball, and they're most likely going to run it successfully. It's just a question of how quickly Patrick Mahomes can respond when the 49ers try and take that time off the clock, which they're going to do. And what's interesting about this matchup is that the Chiefs and the Niners are in the top 10 in terms of going 3 and out percentage for every drive. And what I'm talking about is basically every 21 drives or so, that's when the Chiefs go 3 and out, and every 30 drives, that's when the Niners go 3 and out. And that may seem significantly better, But these other teams, it's actually crazy the disparity that they have compared to these other teams, but they're both known for running out the clock and not going three and outs. So you're not going to see many of those in this game, but it's just a question of how quickly Patrick Mahomes can respond. Ross Tucker was on with Bonte Steiniaguru yesterday, and he talked about how the 49ers can run on any play.
Right about now, I think the Niners can run the ball on anybody. I mean, what happens is a lot of teams don't have a fullback, and most teams run away from their tight end because the guy can't block. Well, the Niners are the total opposite. So they run with a fullback to the tight end, and so you see like these outside backers and corners and safeties taking on blocks that they look unfamiliar with how to take on because they're not used to it, and they can't get off of it, and it's unbelievable. I mean, Kittle and Juszczyk are absolute weapons, and I'm not sure. I know, you know, a lot of times on TV they do a good job describing it. I'm not sure people really understand, because Juszczyk and Kittle are that good, and now Kyle's got them going one way. Juszczyk puts his foot in the ground, comes back the other way, and is leading on those Deebo Samuel reverses.
Yeah, I can't stress enough how nervous that little things like putting Kittle in motion, how nervous that can make a defense. Because you saw it in this last game with Deebo Samuel and his little end around, his little sweep, like his the reverse that they pulled with Deebo Samuel. It's because George Kittle, he first moved in motion, so he gave him a little bit of room. And then from there, their blocking scheme is just perfect, and they execute it perfectly. And that's why Deebo Samuel is normally able to gain so many yards consistently on those plays. It's just different formations running the same type of play, but with different guys. And that's what throws all these defenses off balance. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, he was talking with Peter King, and he said this about how the 49ers should try and quote-unquote attack Patrick Mahomes. And this is where we went all up in arms about this thing.
You know what? At a certain level, I think that, and I want to be careful here because I'm not suggesting that they try to knock him out of the game. That's not what I'm saying. But at a certain point, you trade the risk of 15 yards if you can send a message. And football is still a physical, violent game. If you can hit him, even if it's close to the sideline, even if he's maybe started into his slide, when the championship is riding on it, I think it's a different analysis. And yeah, we may give up 15 yards or half the distance to the goal line. I mean, that's the thing, Peter. If somebody had blown up Patrick Mahomes inside the five, okay, it goes from the four to the two. Right. Big deal. So again, I'm not saying that that should be part of the deliberate effort, but the Super Bowl is riding on it. And if this guy's going to think that he can just run through the defense without any physical consequence, they need to dispel him of that notion the first time he tries.
Now, this has been way overblown by the media. It's just because Mike Florio is such a prominent voice in the football world that this really made the rounds. But the thing with that is it feels like it's too risky to do that sort of thing. And the main part was the main thing that I thought about as soon as he said, you know, if Patrick Mahomes is going into a slide, I'm not going to try and, you know, say how wrong Mike Florio is just for saying that comment, because football is just a violent game in general. All he's saying is that you got to go out and hit the quarterback. But that brings me back to week one with Quan Alexander on Jameis Winston. You do not want to go up against one of these quarterbacks and try and just, you don't want to try and, you know, send some sort of message and then risk getting ejected from the game. I don't think that's worth the risk. Sure, you would stop Patrick Mahomes a little bit from maybe having the confidence to try and run the ball, but running the risk of actually getting ejected from the Super Bowl, that's one thing you do not want in this game. Okay. Chilton Auto Body text line 957-95-888-957-9570. I want to throw out a hypothetical here. I want to throw out one hypothetical. And this is if the 49ers win. Now, if the 49ers do win the Super Bowl in 9 days in Miami, which would have been more impactful on the Bay Area? the Warriors winning their championship, the Giants winning their championship, or the Niners winning this championship here in 2020? I want to throw that out to you. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 888 957-9570. Which would have more of an impact on the Bay Area as a whole? The 49ers winning this Sunday, the Warriors having won back in 2014, 2015, the Giants winning back in 2010. Which one would have more of an impact on the Bay Area? Which one did have more of an impact on the Bay Area? Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 888 957-9570. Stephen Langford down on the pregame show 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
The pregame show on 95.7 The Game is presented by Golden State Lumber. With locations across the Bay Area, we offer next-day delivery. Now that's a winning game plan. GoldenStateLumber.com. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 888-957-9570. Throwing out the hypothetical right now. If the Niners, if they go into Miami this weekend, if they go into, or not this weekend, next weekend, if they go to Miami, Super Bowl 54 in 9 days, and they win, how would you rank the Bay Area championships in terms of impact on the Bay Area? Warriors, Giants, and Niners. You can go any way you want with it as far as the Warriors and Giants. To me, that if I had to rank the three from 2010 to 2012 to 2014 for the Giants, I mean, as far as just expectations, 2014 was a team that was just not expected to win at all, but 2010 being the first in San Francisco history, being the first in 53 years, I think that one had the biggest impact on the Bay Area. But if I had to rank them, it would probably be 2010, 2014, and 2012. But then again, you got to look at 2012 and you got to think, I mean, you got to look at 2012 and you got to think, well, they're playing the Tigers, and the Tigers look to be an unstoppable force that no one else could get past at the time, especially with Justin Verlander and Pablo Sandoval being the hero. So that kind of leaped him into superstardom and led him to other stuff with the Boston Red Sox. But and the Warriors, obviously, that first championship, I think, without Kevin Durant was the one which sticks in Warriors' minds. Because I'm seeing here on the Chilton Auto Body text line from the 95795 from the 415 Warriors, because they were sorry for so long. And I get that, but the Giants had a 1-1 in San Francisco. It hadn't been done. So that one, I feel like, to me, probably had just as much of an impact. But how much would this Niner championship have an impact on the Bay Area? Where would you rank them? How would you rank them? Warriors, Giants, Niners, how would it go? But I want to go to Sal in Richmond. He wants to talk a little bit about Jimmy Garoppolo. What's going on, Sal?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good.
I got a comment for made about Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo, man. I kind of agree with you, man. You got to take it. I mean, look at Jimmy Garoppolo. Look at what he's done when he came into the game. You know, he took over, he started, 7-2 or something like that?
Yeah.
And you got to take the points from him. I mean, look at him. You know, he gets in the pocket. He's just like he's not scared. You can tell. You know, sometimes the way he throws the ball, if you look at Tom Brady, it's like he mimics him. Everything he does. I mean, so people to sit here and say that Jimmy Garoppolo is not a, you know, he doesn't have it in the arm, or he's scared to throw the ball. I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't know where they see what quarterback that they want. They don't want to pass the ball, or what's going on. I mean, I don't see it.
And Sal, to kind of continue on that, like, when Kyle Shanahan brought in Jimmy Garoppolo, at first he wanted to bring in Kirk Cousins. And Jimmy Garoppolo right away kind of understood the offense, which I think surprised Kyle Shanahan, how quickly he just picked things up, even though it's kind of complicated. I mean, there are a lot of similarities between Garoppolo and Brady.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. I feel like the same, when you said that comment, I was just like, you took the words right out of my mouth. I feel like that's Tom Brady, the next Tom Brady. I feel like that's him. He just has, I guess, the Super Bowl. I'll say if he wins the Super Bowl, he still won't get the credit. People will still just talk down on him because I don't know what it is, but I don't know what he has to do. I guess he has to go out and win 5 Super Bowls for them to think that he's a great quarterback. But to me, he's a great quarterback. He's my quarterback, 49ers all the way, 28-21, 49ers on top.
Sal and Richmond, 28-21 to the Niners. And the thing with Tom Brady, too, is it wasn't until later in his career when he got a guy like Randy Moss to where he threw 50-plus touchdowns in a season, or at least close to that. I got to look up that. Actually, you know what? I'm going to look up the numbers right now. But if you give Jimmy Garoppolo and a, you know, top three wide receiver all time, if somehow you get him on your team like Tom Brady got Randy Moss, I mean, who knows, man? Who really knows? But there are these certain similarities that Jimmy Garoppolo has to Tom Brady, and I think that should make you feel a little more confident going into the Super Bowl. From the Chilton Autobody text line at 95795, from the 209, as much of an A's fan as I am, I would say Giants, just because it was their first in the area. Felt like the Giants bandwagon was bigger than any of those other recent winning teams here in the Bay as well. From the 925, the Giants and the 49ers are not the Bay Area's team. The Warriors are the Bay Area's team, and that's what made their impact so great. And yeah, and I totally get that too. But imagine, you know, I wonder if what would happen if the Sharks would have won the Stanley Cup. And I want to say one thing that I've been seeing a lot of in this past week. And actually, you know, ever since the end of the season, really, and the 49ers started going on this playoff run, I've been seeing a lot of this is the time where the 49ers have a chance to convert Raider fans into being 49er fans. And I will say this. I don't believe any of that. I don't think there's going to be a single guy who's a diehard Raider fan. For one, if you're just a straight diehard, you're going with that team wherever you go. Like, there are plenty of fans who are going to be following them to Las Vegas. They don't care how ownership looks at the team. But I will say this, and it doesn't even matter that the 49ers, they have a majority of the fans here in the Bay Area, especially now. But I will say this, fan is short for fanatic, and I don't think there are going to be any Raider fans out there who are going to switch to being a 49ers fanatic just like that. Sure, they're going to, you know, respect the team. And if the 49ers are playing, they'll cheer for them. But I think fan is actually a stronger word than we give it credit for. So I think converting, I don't think just winning a championship here is this. This is the time to convert a 49er fan or a Raider fan to a 49er fan. Sure, this is definitely a time where, I don't know, maybe there are kids out there who were supporting the Raiders, but now the Raiders are moving, so they want to bring the 49ers into it, and they're watching them win, so maybe they can convert the kids for sure. But as far as just regular Raider fans that have been Raider fans for a while since they've been in Oakland, that ain't happening. That ain't happening. I could say that much. Growing up here in the Bay Area, that was the one rivalry, like, you know, growing up in school. It was the rivalry during football season. Whenever the Raiders and the 49ers would play each other, that was the one where you'd walk into school and it would either be 49ers saying, you know, especially when they were good, it would be the 49ers saying, look, we won this week. Raiders lost. What's up? You know, like, they'd be, you know, talking all this smack and all this stuff to all the Raider fans. And when the Raider fans would win and the 49ers would lose and the Raider fans would be talking all the smack, it was just an in-house rivalry. And I don't think that just because they're going into this Super Bowl now, I don't think there's any chance that just because the Raiders are moving that they'll convert into be a 49er fans. They'll just watch the NFL. They'll just watch football. From the 510, the Warriors and the entire Bay Area's team. Baseball and football is divided in the Bay. From the 510, the Warriors' first championship meant more because they're only basketball team in the Bay, while we have had two football teams and two baseball teams. But this could be a time right now where, and I will say this, I don't think any adult, grown Raider fans are going to convert, but this is the time where the 49ers can make really the children of the Bay Area, the ones who are growing up, this is the time where they can make them the 49er fan. When you're watching one of your hometown teams, something that's, you know, something that kids, they understand, they know San Francisco, they know the name, they know that it's happening close by. This is when the kids in the Bay Area, kids in, you know, elementary schools and junior high schools, this is where they can start getting into it. Like the amount of the reason that the Giants have so many fans is because not only do they have the older demographic, but also they got the younger demographic who were all in school when they were winning all those championships. It was a popular thing from 2010 to 2015 to be a Giants fan. That I'd never seen in my life more Giants apparel just walking up and down the streets. And now I'm seeing a lot of 49ers stuff, but in the future, and from 2020 to 2030, this is a time where they can get the young kids who are trying to get into sports more, this is where they can convert them into 49er fans. But the Raider fans who are adults, I'm seeing some of that. I'm reading some of that. That ain't happening. The ones who have been cheering the Raiders for a while, they're not going to be 49er fans. They're just going to be, you know, they're just going to like the team and respect what they're doing, but they're not going to be quote-unquote fans. All right, coming up, you're going to hear from Brian Westbrook. He played under Andy Reid, and he was on with Bonte, Steiny, and Guru yesterday. And also, I want to talk about these guys who could be on their last game as a 49er, and I want to know from you whether you think these free agents have done enough already before the Super Bowl's even happened to earn a place on this team. Chilton Autobody text line 95795 888-957-9570. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
The pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. With locations throughout the Bay Area, we're the winning choice for professional builders and contractors. GoldenStateLumber.com. From the Chilton Autobody text line at 95795 from the 510, I think the Warriors' first championship had the biggest impact because they're the Bay's team. I'm an A's fan, and I don't care about the Giants' wins. But this is the biggest thing going right now, and it's ridiculous thinking, I mean, looking back on everything that, I mean, every single year, the Bay Area teams have had some sort of representative, whoever it may be, in the major sports championships. And looking back on those stats where, you know, 2010, it was the Giants, 2012 Giants, 2014 Giants, 2013 Niners, 2014 Giants, 2015 Warriors, 2016 Warriors. There's a lot of just, we've been through a lot here in the past decade for the Bay Area, and this could be the start of something. This could be the start of something. Okay. Brian Westbrook, former running back for the Eagles, he was on with Bonte, Steiny, and Guru. He wanted to talk a little bit about how Andy Reid coaches his players and his style that he could be facing heading here into the Super Bowl and what the 49ers defense could be going down with. Here is Brian Westbrook from Bonte, Steiny, and Guru yesterday. He is our interview of the day. We like to play these for you every day at about 5:35, 5:40, depending on when I get to it. But we like to play these every single day because we understand that you can't listen to every single minute of every single day on 95.7 The Game. So we play the best interviews we feel, or I feel like at least, from the day before. Here is Brian Westbrook.
He played 8 years under Andy Reid. Thank you so much for joining us, Brian. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you so much for having me. How's everything going?
Everything's going great. And I want to start with Andy Reid because it feels like people look at him two different ways, and they're so different. And one is, the guy's a great coach. He's a great play caller. He gets the most out of his teams. He's his own creative genius in his own mind. And then there's another school of thought. Can't win the big one. Not great on clock management. Something always happens. Is the latter fair?
Well, I mean, I think they actually probably both could be true at the same time. I think that Andy
is a fantastic coach, and he's been around for a very long time. And, you know, of course, he's been to a bunch of AFC championship games, a couple there in Kansas City. And while in Philadelphia, he went to 5 NFC championship games and a Super Bowl. And so I think that his credentials as far as coaching goes, they certainly are valid and they're true. But I also think there have been times where, you know, the clock management has been a bit of an issue. I think that, of course, not getting to the Super Bowl in some of those NFC championship game appearances and not winning the big game against the Patriots for us there in Philadelphia in 04 certainly live with him as well. And so I think all of those things probably can be true at the same time. But quite honestly, you know, some of those things, especially the information about the teams in Philadelphia, they probably don't have very much bearing on this game. I think that this is a new day for Andy Reid in the Kansas City Chiefs football squad, and they certainly have a squad that can go out there and has the potential of winning this game on Sunday.
Hey, Brian, before I ask you my question, I just want to let you know, man, I really do. I tune in. I appreciate your commentary. Keep up the good work. I want to ask you, in your estimation, how good is Jimmy Garoppolo, and what is he?
Well, I think that Jimmy Garoppolo is a talented quarterback. I think that, you know, I was just talking about that this morning, quite honestly. And I think, you know, I believe that the San Francisco 49ers offense is so talented. So many weapons on that team. When you talk about speed, you talk about especially coming out of the backfield, 2 or 3 guys that can get you yards running the football. You have another couple guys on the outside that can get you yards. When you talk about Deebo Samuel, Emmanuel Sanders catching the ball out of the backfield, out of the wide receiver position, and George Kittle from the tight end position. I mean, he has a bunch of weapons, and now it's really up to Jimmy G to be able to go out there and get the ball to these guys. And fortunately enough for him, they've been put in situations during the 49ers have been put in situations during the playoffs that they don't really have to throw the ball very much at all. They've been so dominant with the run game. And so that kind of leads a lot of people to believe that, you know, maybe Jimmy G is not as good as you know, of course, some other people think. And I believe that because of Kyle Shanahan's offense, because of the way they have built that thing in San Francisco, that, you know, Jimmy G doesn't have to be a guy that's going to go save the game. He doesn't have to be, I'm going to, you know, be that hero all of the time, because that running game has been so strong. But I look also back to week 11 when they only had 34, 37 rushing yards, and Jimmy G came in and had 424 yards and 4 touchdowns. He was able to carry the football team. And so just because he hasn't been called upon to carry the team quite yet doesn't mean he's not capable. I just think that because of the offense and because they've been so dominant with the run game, they haven't need him. So I still believe in Jimmy G. I still think he's very capable. But, you know, fortunately enough for them, they haven't been called upon for their quarterback to have to carry the football team.
Brian Westbrook here on 95.7 The Game, former Eagle and 49er running back, which means you'll have your Niner jersey on Super Bowl Sunday. I know you will, Brian, rooting for the red and gold. Going back over to Andy Reid, when you played for him, I remember those Eagle teams, a lot of screen plays, a lot of misdirection. You guys were dynamic. How has Andy Reid evolved as a play caller? I know he's given up play calling duties to Eric Bieniemy and he did to Matt Nagy, but he's still very involved in that offense. How have you seen Andy Reid evolve with this offense? Because I'm seeing the Chiefs and I'm like, damn, they got so much speed, so many weapons. Where have you seen the most improvement with Andy Reid with the way he runs his offense?
Well, I think Andy as well as Kyle do a great job of pre-snap motions and shifts. They have, you know, they put a lot of different people in a stressful situation on the defensive side of the ball, meaning they have to use their eyes to check out a lot of different things, and they have to put themselves in better positions defensively because of some of the speed that's coming at you. And Andy Reid in particular, when you look at that offense compared to some of the things we did in Philadelphia, is it's been much more vertical. They're much more downfield. They're trying to get the ball down. And because Patrick Mahomes' arm strength and his ability to throw the football, it's been amazing what they've been able to do, because now you have all your receivers that are running the 4-3 or better for the most part. You have Kelce there, one of the best tight ends in the NFL. And then, of course, you have the quarterback that can get the ball there. And so Andy Reid in that offense has become much more dynamic and much more efficient going down the field. And I think early on in his career, Andy was much more the West Coast offense. Of course, you guys understand that Bill Walsh made the dog on offense there in San Francisco.
Right.
And it was a three-yard slant, hitches, you know, smash routes, things like that. Now you have a quarterback that still has the ability to throw all those passes and an offense that has the ability to run all those plays, but they're also much more dynamic down the field. And you see some of the motions and shifts are just getting guys wide open because the defense has to look at so many different things. And so now you have an offense that is much more dynamic than probably any offense we had in Philadelphia.
Former San Francisco 49ers running back Brian Westbrook joining us. Also played a little bit for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Just a little.
That doesn't, it's not germane to San Francisco radio station. Hey, we were asking our listeners a hypothetical, and I'm just going to run it by you because it seems to be the story of the game for the most part, or the big storyline is the Chiefs offense versus the 49ers defense. Who has a better chance of winning the game? If the 49ers have the ball down two on their own 25, 2 minutes left, no timeouts, or would you rather be the 49ers defense up six, but the Chiefs have the ball on their 25 with 2 minutes to go?
That's a really good question, because when you think about it, the 49ers defense, I believe that you have the ability to get after Patrick Mahomes, or at least make it harder upon him to have to throw the ball down the field with your ability to pressure the quarterback with either four, five, or six guys with the blitz. And so I like that. But also when I look at that, Patrick Mahomes and that offense having the football is a scary thing. And then offensively, I say, well, you know, I think the 49ers offense can take advantage of some of the things the Kansas City Chiefs defense does. I also think that there have been times where Kansas City as a whole, and really not the last part of the season, but probably early on in the season, defensively have given up a bunch of yards in the run game and pass game. And probably since then, since week 13 or so, they've been much more solid at defending the run and the pass. And so that makes it a tough question. I think for me, I would go with the aspect of Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes being one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, if not the best quarterback in the NFL, and the lineup of weapons that he has. With the you know being with the lead, I certainly probably would go with that group. But I could also understand how you can go with the 49ers as well, because they have the ability to dominate the game with their run game as well.
Brian, there's no better feeling than when you know you're watching a special athlete, you know, Allen Iverson, Steph Curry. And that brings me to Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he's a phenom. He deserves it. But I'm wondering, how did the rest of the NFL miss out? How did Andy know that he could have this effect on the league? And how shocked are you by it?
You know, I'm not shocked. I think Andy has done a great job throughout his days as a coach, developing quarterbacks and allowing them to play better. I think every year people in the NFL miss all the time. So many people missed on Lamar Jackson and his ability to affect games. And there are times where players come out and there's no other comps. And I'm not saying that that's the same for Patrick Mahomes. I think just people just say, you know what, he's not our cup of tea. And they missed out on his arm strength, his playmaking ability, his footwork as well. And Andy Reid had the ability to capitalize on that and find a guy that can run the offense the way that it's meant to be run. And that's why they've been so successful. And so I think people in the NFL, scouts and everything like that, I think they miss every single year on a bunch of players. And it just really depends upon if you can find that right player and fit them into your offense, then that can work a lot of the times.
Hey, they missed out on you, Brian Westbrook, coming out of Villanova. That's for damn sure. Tormented off defenses for years, man. Talk to us about getting ready for the Super Bowl. These teams are going to fly down, I believe, Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, get to Miami. And I know when you went to the Super Bowl, it was in Jacksonville. Jacksonville's no Miami, not to throw shade at Jayville, but what was that week like? What do these teams have to do to not get caught up in this situation? We've seen some previous Super Bowls where, you know, I don't want to throw them under the bus, but Eugene Robinson the night before the game, with Stanley Wilson, classic case in Cincinnati. What can you do during the Super Bowl week to stay prepared, stay focused, and how different is that week when you get down to the Super Bowls to Miami?
Well, it's first of all, it's very difficult, no matter where it's at. to stay focused, because you got to remember, you got that whole week before. And so this week, you're kind of just making sure everything's wrapped up, everything, your tickets, your hotel situation, your family is wrapped up and squared away to go. And that by the time you get to Miami, you're just ready to play a football game because, you know, besides the bye, you're playing every single week for the most part. And so as an athlete, you're kind of getting used to playing every single week. But I think the biggest thing is to stay focused. And I think that's what coaches certainly are preaching. Stay focused. Make sure that, you know, we've come a long way to get to this point. Don't mess it up over a little bit of fun or a party or something crazy like that while you're enjoying yourself down here in Miami. And so, you know, of course, Miami has its own its own entrapment there down there as well. And so that's a whole different city to play in. But I just think it's all about the focus. It's all about learning from some of the things that have happened in the past. And I think the veterans on both squads will be preaching to the young guys, listen, we don't have time to be messing around. If we win this game, we're going to have plenty of time to party and enjoy ourselves afterwards. But let's remain focused for another, you know, week and a half. And if we can do that, we'll be riding off into the sunset, you know, on Sunday night and enjoying ourselves much better than you can have any party before this football game.
Hey, Brian, thank you so much. I do have one more for you. You know, T.O. played out here, as you know. What's your boy T.O. up to? Why is he dragging you into stuff?
You know, it seems that T.O. and Donovan are reliving feuds from 15 years
Man.
Ago. You know, I love both of those guys. I hate to see those guys go back and forth, especially over Twitter for the whole world to see. That kind of disappoints me just a bit. But, you know, it's in my mind, it's just nonsense between two guys that should be over something that happened 15 years ago at this point in time. And so I just think that they both probably should just move on and get ready for whatever's next in both of their lives.
Thank you so much, Brian. Appreciate it, man. Great stuff.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, Brian Westbrook.
Class act.
Former
that answer right there.
You can catch that interview in case you were just getting into your car and only were able to catch a little bit of it. You can catch any of that interview and all of our interviews at 957thegame.radio.com. Or, of course, you can download the radio.com app and favorite 957 The Game. By the way, the pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Three generations, 65 years of experience, and seven Bay Area locations. Give us the winning edge. When you succeed, we succeed. That's Golden State Lumber. .com. Now, one guy who's going to be a free agent this next season, for one, we got Jimmy Ward, which is one that I'm paying attention to. Like, I feel like Jimmy Ward has done all he can to deserve whatever money that they're going to offer him. And if someone offers more, I wouldn't be surprised, but I think Jimmy Ward, that's partially why you have the that's partially why it's advantageous to have Robert Saleh here with the 49er organization as a defensive coordinator, because Jimmy Ward understands his system. He knows how to work in his system. And I mean, he's 29 years old right now, and if he's a free agent this next season, which he is, I think that he's going to come back with the 49ers. But one guy who is, you know, under a little bit of you got a question mark next to his name, and that's one Arik Armstead. And you don't know if they're going to franchise tag him or not. Use the franchise tag on this guy. $17.5 million, $18.5 million is the ballpark range of where the type of money that he'll get for the franchise tag. But I personally think that this Super Bowl is the one where Arik Armstead's going to feast. I really do. And that's because a majority of the Chiefs' offensive line is pretty good, whether you got Eric Fisher on the left side along with Stefan Wisniewski, but on the and Austin Reeder, he's a pretty good center. He's not the greatest, but he's a pretty good center. And on the right side, you got Mitchell Schwartz. But at right guard, you got Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. I don't know how to pronounce it, but he is, as far as I know, there. The right guard is the weakest one out of that offensive line position. I don't like to call offensive linemen weak just because they're those guys are just abnormally large humans and could destroy me. But as far as the skills go on this offensive line, the right guard is the one who has the least amount. And I think that the strategy for Robert Saleh going into this game, and I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, but it's going to be having Nick Bosa go one-on-one with Mitchell Schwartz, their best offensive lineman, have him go one-on-one for a majority of the time, let Mitchell Schwartz focus on Nick Bosa, have him go one-on-one. Then on the other side of the line, on the Niners' right side, you have Dee Ford, who should start this game, and DeForest Buckner. And DeForest Buckner, he's the one that takes charge on these double teams. And I think that you can leave Stefan Wisniewski and Austin Reeder, and I think you can leave them to try and figure out whether to double-team DeForest Buckner or Arik Armstead. If I had to think whether they choose between the two, I think Austin Reeder would choose DeForest Buckner, and that means you're going to be leaving Arik Armstead one-on-one. I think Arik Armstead's going to start as a defensive tackle. He splits his time between the two positions. I don't think he's going to rush from the edge at all this game. I think you play Dee Ford and Nick Bosa as the edge rushers as much as he can and leave Buckner and Armstead on the inside. And I think that Arik Armstead is going to be left one-on-one with Duvernay Tardif. And I think he's going to be left one-on-one with him. And I think Arik Armstead is going to be able to feast in this game. And any question mark that you have around Arik Armstead and the contract that he's supposed to get, well, I think that he's going to be answering that question mark. And you're going to be saying after the Super Bowl that we need to sign this guy. I think that's what the 49ers need to do. Now, you could switch around Dee Ford and Nick Bosa. You don't necessarily have to leave Nick Bosa one-on-one with Mitchell Schwartz all the time, but I do think that since Schwartz has been playing, Schwartz has been known as one of the most I think he had the record for the most consecutive snaps played as an offensive lineman, or he was up there in terms of the record. I do not like to do this, but I'm going to look it up anyway. I should have looked this up beforehand, but let me see. Snap streak. I'm looking this up on my laptop right now. And let me open the article. Mitchell Schwartz's consecutive snap streak comes to an end. After 7,894 snaps in a row, the streak came to an end. That was earlier this season in November, and that was a record. And Schwartz, in one of those 7,894 snaps, in a partial amount of those, Dee Ford was on the Chiefs at that time. And I think Mitchell Schwartz understands Dee Ford's tendencies and wouldn't worry about him too much. But I think with Nick Bosa, he hasn't faced a guy like Nick Bosa all season, except for his brother Joey Bosa, of course. But he hasn't faced Nick Bosa all season, so I'd be cool if Robert Saleh just let them go one-on-one and try and let these other defensive linemen feast. Nick Bosa, it's not going to be, you know, I don't like saying, hey, yeah, you should use Nick Bosa as a decoy, but I don't think it would be the worst idea, because the numbers that have been coming out about Patrick Mahomes when he's pressured versus when he's not pressured. Look, when he's pressured, it's hard to say any quarterback would be great when they're pressured, unless they're really, you know, Russell Wilson. But when he's not pressured, Patrick Mahomes is 20 for 25 with 285 yards and 3 touchdowns. And that's alone in these last couple of games. So I think in order to get pressure on Patrick Mahomes, and also he doesn't do well against the blitz either, but the 49ers don't blitz. The only three other teams blitz less than the 49ers. Only three other teams. So they're really fourth in the NFL as far as not blitzing. So I don't think they're going to change that around. I don't think they're going to get pressure that way. I think the best way to get pressure on this guy is to leave Nick Bosa one-on-one with Mitchell Schwartz. Also, some interesting stuff. Like, we've been getting a lot of different analytics that have been coming out in the past week about how the Chiefs' offense reacts to certain types of coverages and certain types of defenses. And one thing that came out about Patrick Mahomes, too, were his numbers versus zone coverage. And this is both in the regular season and the playoffs. He had a QBR of 91.3. Okay, that's not a passer rating. That's a QBR. a good QBR is up where maybe in the 70s and 80s. A 91.3 is crazy. He had a 74.4 completion percentage, 9.4 yards per attempt, and 14 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. That's Patrick Mahomes playing versus zone coverage. The 49ers played zone coverage. That's what we were talking about with Richard Sherman last week, talking about shadowing Devontae Adams and whatnot. They don't do that because they play zone coverage. The 49ers played zone coverage on 64.2% of opponents' dropbacks. That's the second most in the NFL. So really, when Patrick Mahomes isn't blitzed, that's when he has a lot of success. 49ers don't blitz all that much. Patrick Mahomes has a bleep ton of success against zone coverage, and the 49ers run zone coverage second most in the NFL. So there's something to keep an eye on, too, when you're heading into this game. All right, coming up, Adam Kaplan at 6:30. And the guy's going to be doing a little simulcast with Kansas City coming up at 7 o'clock. Joe Lo and Dibs coming up next. Enjoy the weekend, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.